welcome to The Currency Exchange, a NatWest podcast series all about foreign exchange markets. I'm Brian Dangerfield. I co-head the G10 FX strategy team here out of the U.S., and I'll be your host today. Today, we're going to talk all about the U.S., and to do that, I'm very happy to be joined by our chief U.S. economist, Kevin Cummins. Kevin, thanks very much for joining.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Brian.
So this has been a very busy couple of weeks for U.S. data and events. Definitely happy to be joined by Kevin to talk about these events, both from this past week and also from weeks gone by. You know, this month of March has been super interesting as we've looked at a lot of big U.S. data with really the big question, I think, in the minds of the market, whether or not the January strength that we saw, the January numbers got released all throughout February, a lot of that surprised to the top side. And I think there were meaningful questions about whether this was a sign of reacceleration in the U.S. economy, stickier inflation, or whether or not that some of this data that we had gotten that was very strong may have overstated those risks around reacceleration, whether if weather-related impacts or seasonal adjustment factors, that sort of thing, was maybe overstating that risk. And so, Kevin, I want to talk to you about some of the inflation readings that we got this week. The consumer price index, the CPI, and the producer price index came out this week. What are you thinking about the results that we got, and how do you think this impacts our outlook for inflation and our outlook for the economy?
Yeah, this morning's PPI certainly outperformed expectations. Both the headline and even the core was a tenth higher than expected. The February CPI report, similar to the January report, had broken a nice string of data that have come to the downside throughout much of last year on the inflation perspective, from the inflation perspective. So, it does raise a few eyebrows of whether or not that earlier downtrend is going to persist as we move forward. Our own view here at NatWest is that, after what seems to be a reoccurring seasonal pattern at the start of each year in January and February, where you do start to see, some increase in prices that are above the earlier trend. Our own view is that they're going to subside in coming months, and we wouldn't extrapolate that strength that we saw in January and February. And even February numbers, while they were still above the earlier trend, did show a little bit of a step down relative to January. This morning's PPI does suggest that we're going to probably see an above trend gain in the core PCE number. Going into the report, we were assuming a high 0.2, but after we received this morning's PPI, we did nudge that up to a low 0.3. So on an unrounded basis, it barely rounds to 0.3, but nonetheless, it still rounds higher, and it'll keep the Fed, curious as to whether that earlier downtrend in inflation is going to persist once we get, out of the first 2 months of this year. So I think it keeps the Fed, on hold mode for right now.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, very interesting to see. I think the CPI and PPI brought, in some cases, some good news maybe for the Fed, that you saw some slowing relative to the very strong results we got in January, but maybe not enough good news. And just to clarify what you mentioned, that some of the categories from CPI and PPI feed directly into the core PCE deflator, right? And so that gives us a bit of a preview for the Fed's preferred measure of inflation that we'll get later this month, coming in maybe a touch stronger than we expected at a 0.3% month on month on the core, but not as strong as the core CPI that we had gotten earlier. So perhaps maybe a bit of mixed data, but I mean, it sort of leaves the market in an interesting position, I think, going into the Federal Reserve meeting next week. This is one of those meetings where we've got we're running the gamut. We have all the releases from the Fed, we've got the statement, we've got the press conference, we have the dot plot and the projections. Kevin, what are you expecting for this meeting? Do you think this one's going to be a game changer? Do you think the Fed's going to keep sort of in their wait and see mode here?
Yeah, I think you characterize it well with the wait and see mode. I mean, I think they just don't have enough evidence to really move the needle all that much at this point in time. It's pretty clear, I think, the next move is going to be down, and we're probably going to hear that from Powell at some point this year. We're going to get rate cuts. But right now, I think while there's some ambiguity there, then they'll probably remain on the sideline. It's universally expected that they're going to keep the policy rate unchanged. But that easing cycle that they showed in the last dot plot in December, you know, whether or not that changes or not, very much from December. Our own view is it's a pretty close call, but that they're going to keep what they had in December in the March dot plot. I think that's what really the biggest takeaway will be from the market's perspective of whether or not they pare back the expectation of easing this year to show only two cuts, or do they just, you know, show three cuts like they had in December? And I think, you know, as we were just saying, I don't think there's enough evidence to really move the needle much that I think, you know, some of those centrists on the FOMC probably think are waiting now, and they want to see a resumption of better inflation data after this little hiccup at the start of the year, whether or not that persists or not, before really changing their outlook all that much. But as you mentioned, we're going to get plenty of information with the FOMC statement, with the dot plot, with the press conference. That it'll probably be at the end of the day a little bit of a mix of information, but I think the big takeaway will be that the Fed is still watching and wants more convincing evidence that inflation is going to move back down to 2% before they start easing and becoming much less restrictive than they currently are.
Yeah, Kevin, I think that the dot plot in particular, I think, is the thing that tends to move the markets. And in these Fed meetings, when they release the dot plot projection, that tends to be the single thing the market loves to grab onto. And like you said, the Fed projected at their December meeting three 25 basis point interest rate cuts in the Fed funds rate throughout the duration of 2024 by the end of the year. Now the market is actually pricing almost exactly that. That we pared back a lot of easing expectations. And, you know, as of recording on Thursday, sort of midday, market's pricing about, you know, roughly 75 basis points of easing for the duration of this year. And so the markets had a bit of a tendency of, you know, overpricing in terms of Fed easing, right? Seeing the balance of risks towards more easing rather than less. So I think that's a pretty clear indication, the fact that we are now pricing right on the Fed's dot plot median as we go into this meeting, that I think the market's probably positioned for the Fed to maybe revise up that dot plot expectation. And so with market positioning maybe leaning towards the recent data have been good enough to maybe push this number a bit higher, this median a bit higher, I mean, maybe that, I think that might be the risk next week, is that if the dot plot medians don't move as you expect, maybe that that sort of drives the initial reaction to be dovish. And, you know, I don't think the message from the Fed's really going to change all that much, but I know the market very clearly focuses on that dot plot. And I think the way that market pricing has been evolving suggests the market's looking for something a little bit more hawkish from this dot plot. If we don't get that, I wonder if that could drive a more dovish reaction. I did want to ask you also, just sort of thinking about the dot plot in regards to the projections as well, because we know the Fed's thinking, you know, the Fed doesn't just set their dots, their projections for the federal funds rate in a vacuum, right? There's also, this is all based on their expectations for the economy and for growth. I'm curious what you think, if there's going to be any potential changes, major changes in the way that the Fed's thinking about inflation in particular. Because, you know, when we think about these longer term dots, 2024 is, I think, the one that moves the market. But for 2025 and 2026, and even this longer term median, there's some questions over whether the longer term median would come up. I'm curious, Kevin, what do you think about the inflation projections and how that may or may not inform potential changes in the dot plot sort of further out?
Yeah, I mean, I think that their summary of economic projections, as you mentioned, in addition to the appropriate level of policy at the end of the year and the so-called dot plot for the funds rate, I don't expect that officials will really change all that much as far as their need to rethink their inflation profile for the next couple of years. I mean, they eventually get back down closer to 2% in 25 and 26. And, you know, you can't ignore the last two prints have been above expectations, I don't think it really will change forecasters at the Fed, their expectation that inflation, you know, is going to be higher than they thought, you know, 3 months ago. So I wouldn't imagine there'd be all that much of a of a rethink and getting their pencils out and really changing those numbers in 25 and 26. This year, you may see a little bit of a tweak higher on inflation. You know, as of December, they had 2.4. It probably isn't all that different, despite, you know, a stronger than expected January and potentially February core PCE number. So, you know, this year at the margin, I think the risk is that they could push that up to, say, 2.5. And at the same time, you know, GDP for the year, they had been expecting 1.4%. That may be a little bit higher because you had a nice finish to last year in the fourth quarter that you didn't really have in hand at the time of the December meeting that suggested the fourth quarter was as strong as it was. So, you know, you may see a little bit stronger growth numbers for this year, a little bit firmer inflation number for this year, but I don't think they're going to really have to reconsider their longer term estimates in addition to the dot plot, you know, in addition to the funds rate going forward. And I, you know, you probably aren't going to see much of a change to the longer run dot, median dot. You know, that's certainly, I think, something that is on the table for moving higher this year. But I don't think there's enough convincing evidence since December that would suggest that their 2.5% estimate has to go up at this meeting. I do think over the course of time that probably will go up, but and you may see a little bit of an upward drift from a few officials over the course of the next couple of dot plots on that, but probably not enough to actually move the needle on the median just yet.
Yeah, so I think if we could just sort of summarize, it sounds like this is going to be, you know, a bit of a wait and see meeting and the Fed really not making a lot of changes quite yet, because I think the jury is still out on whether or not this stronger bit of inflation that we have seen is something that can last. I know something that you've been saying and you've been projecting is that, as you sort of mentioned this at the outset, is that inflation is going to start coming in a little bit softer from here in our expectations, that you do have this seasonal trend of January and February prints coming in a little bit stronger while the remainder of the year comes in softer. And that's something that we're really focused on in terms of the dollar view. You know, as frequent listeners will know, we actually turned to a tactically bearish dollar stance last week, establishing positions, short positions versus the euro and the yen. Basically, our thinking here is that, you know, as we, you know, we were coming through an important couple of weeks of data here, and I think we've gotten mixed results. We haven't really talked too much about the growth data that we've gotten, but the NFP last week was maybe a bit softer than expected when you look at the revisions. Wage inflation came in a bit lower. Retail sales on the control group didn't bounce back as much as I think most had expected. So you did have some slower growth activity data, but the inflation numbers, as we talked about a lot today, Kev, did actually come in a bit stronger. And so, you know, it doesn't feel like the Fed's going to move the needle all that much, though I do think that there's a lot of market focus on whether this dot plot median does move higher a bit to reflect the stronger inflation numbers that we've gotten. If we're right that the median doesn't move, maybe that means the dollar can sort of fade off a little bit here. But if we're right and the inflation numbers start to come in softer, we've already seen the economic surprise index in the U.S. has started to fade a little bit off of its earlier highs. And we think that if those numbers start to come in more constructive, it could start to move in the direction of the Fed gaining that confidence that right now it's lacking. And so in terms of the Fed outlook, Gab, are you still feeling like June is sort of an appropriate timing in terms of the potential start of the easing cycle from the Fed?
Yeah, and I think just to piggyback on one thing you mentioned, it probably will be a relatively close call because the math behind the dot plot doesn't require many officials changing their view. Presumably, some of the more hawkish members who are a little bit more concerned about inflation returning to 3%, they start to drift a little bit higher, but they're not necessarily in the median. So, you know, you may see a couple of those upper dots that maybe the folks that only had one cut for this year, or maybe they had two cuts, and they were a little more hawkish than the central part of the committee who had three cuts as of December, moves a little bit up. But even it is a relatively close call, I would say, in that it just requires two of those people who are in the median dot to pare it back to only from 3 to 2. But, you know, as far as the timing of the first cut, I still feel pretty good in that it still seemed, even, you know, Powell's semiannual monetary policy testimony, you know, the backdrop hasn't changed all that much, even though he didn't necessarily have access to the employment report and the CPI report in the wake of the those testimonies. The backdrop, as you mentioned, isn't dramatically different in that, yeah, you had a pretty solid employment report, and it's likely very much characterized in the statement as a constructive, you know, important point for the consumer. But you know, the this morning's retail sales report was, as you mentioned, a little bit softer. So you may see a bit of a downgrade on the characterization of overall economic activity. Could be moderate rather than solid, something along those lines. So, you know, net, there probably isn't all that much. Even if they were to move to only two cuts this year, I don't think their longer term outlook has changed that much. The timing, I think, Powell mentioned in his testimony, is we're getting close to that level, and they just want to see more evidence of slowing, that they're getting on their way back to 2%. So I still think that June is a reasonable starting point from that. But, you know, the data will determine it, and they're very much data dependent. Right now, I think he's going to continue to say that we're in a wait and see approach here, and we're data dependent. So, you know, I wouldn't imagine June expectations really having to rethink that just now, given that we're only in March. And there, you know, between now and then, there could be, you know, the outlook could change pretty dramatically.
I think that's right. I mean, they're watching the data. We're all watching the data. If the data do come in as we expect, that we start to get those slower inflation, starts to give them that more confidence. We do think that the dollar could start to lean, you know, start to come under a little bit more pressure here as the market prices away. Good context, Kevin, to add about the dot plot medians. I think one of the reasons why the market might be angling towards the dot plot median, especially for 2024 moving up, is simply because it doesn't require that many Fed members to make that change. So I think that's really important context, that part of that risk is that it only takes a couple of members in the middle to move up in order to get that median to drift higher. But if it does drift higher versus doesn't drift higher, I think that's probably what can drive the market in terms of dollar crosses. And, you know, of course, we're coming up on a pretty big week in terms of other central banks as well. You know, we also got Bank of Japan. We got a lot of other events, but we know the Fed tends to do a lot of the driving, and for FX markets, we're going to look very closely at those dots. You know, rightly or wrongly, I do think those tend to move the market on Fed day, on Fed days when dot plots are released, and I think this week might be no different.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, that's also something that Powell is likely to remind the market, is that the bulk of the committee is either looking for two cuts or three cuts or even four cuts. You know, whether or not the math is in line with necessarily what he views as the outlook, you know, he could make clear that, you know, there it's very close call whether or not we were at two dots or three dots. And if you look at the dot plot, you know, you see a variety of different options that we can, you know, move forward with. So I think his messaging will be that, you know, it, more of what we've heard from him in recent testimony, as well as the January meeting, that they're getting close, but they just want some more confirmation that inflation is moving back before they start easing. And then at that point, it's a matter of the data and how that will unfold and allow them to actually follow through on their expectation of where they think the rates will be. We've been talking a lot about the Fed here. Obviously, there's other central banks meeting, and in the coming week we have the BOJ as well. And you know, the market is starting to wonder if the BOJ is going to actually hike interest rates and manage to hike interest rates. And I just wanted to turn to you and ask you, you know, what your thoughts were on this upcoming BOJ meeting and the yen in particular.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a potentially very momentous meeting from the Bank of Japan coming up here. I think the market's been pretty comfortable for a while with this idea that either in March, this upcoming meeting in March, or at their following meeting in April, the Bank of Japan's going to be lifting interest rates for the first time in over a decade. You're talking about ending negative interest rate policy. They have a negative 10 basis point policy rate, moving that up to zero, and then maybe making some important changes to their yield curve control policy. So, you know, I think the big driver of this potential meeting has been wage inflation. Bank of Japan and Japan has seen higher inflation, but a lot of that inflation has been externally generated, right? You had weaker currency, higher energy prices, higher imported energy costs for Japan. And so one of the things that BOJ has been very, very focused on is whether or not we can have sustainable domestically driven inflation in Japan. And the big sort of linchpin to that idea is whether or not wage inflation is showing signs of progress. And so there's been a lot of focus on the Shunto wage rounds in Japan. This is the time of year, this sort of early spring, is when you get a lot of the big labor unions in Japan negotiating with companies about wage increases. And so over the last couple of weeks, you've started to see the results of some of those large negotiations. And those have suggested that labor unions are indeed getting significant wage increases through these negotiations. You know, we're going to get an even better indicator of wage inflation on Friday morning. So by the time you listen to this, you know, we'll have seen another big indicator that we know the BOJ is watching. But generally, the mood music around wage inflation through this Shunto period has been very good. Good enough, we think, for the BOJ to end the negative interest rate policy at their meeting next week. So a 10 basis point increase in the BOJ policy rate, formally ending negative rates. Alongside that, we think it could mean an official end to yield curve control. So we're talking about, you know, this policy of trying to cap the 10-year yield at a specific level. That effectively goes away at this meeting, and also some other changes in the BOJ's purchase policies, perhaps ending their purchases of exchange-traded funds, for example. And so the BOJ's been moving at a snail's pace, if you will, in terms of easing back on its levels of ultra-accommodation. We think they take a pretty important step forward in that at their meeting next week. And so from the perspective of the yen, one of the things that we've been expecting over the last couple of weeks is for the yen to maybe benefit from short covering of yen short positions heading into this meeting. Essentially, the yen has been one of the worst performing currencies so far in 2024. We were thinking we established a long yen versus dollar position last week. Part of our thinking on this is the market we don't think wants to be very short the yen heading into this decision, where we think the risks are pretty good of a hawkish move. It seems like a hawkish move looks more likely now than it did even a few weeks ago, and dollar yen is slightly lower. If I'm being totally honest, that you know the move lower in dollar yen has not been as strong as I had either hoped or anticipated. Part of that might be because of how the inflation numbers have come in and the market pricing has adjusted to the Fed. You know, as always, dollar yen, there's two sides of the coin, the dollar side and there's the yen side. Dollar side's an important consideration, and dollars bounce back a little bit this week. But we do think we're going to get a hawkish decision from the Bank of Japan. I think that has important implications and bullish ones for the yen. So we're still leaning tactically bullish on the yen as we head into that important meeting next week. So we've covered a lot of ground, Kevin. I want to thank you for joining. And to our listeners, thanks very much for listening to today's Currency Exchange. If you enjoy this podcast, please consider giving it a like and also subscribing to our channel so that you can get our latest podcasts the moment they're released. Thank you very much.